Hi, you're listening to This Is Not Your Practice Life. I'm your host, Macy Renee, and we are going on a journey together, my friends. I'm a certified life and emotional intelligence coach. And if you really want to step into your highest self, there are a few non-negotiables you're going to have to learn. And I am just the person to help you do it. No matter your past, I'm here to help you create a more fulfilling future. So stick around with me. Not only will I teach you how to navigate your brain's daily mind drama, but I'll help you actually understand your mind, your emotions, why you do the things you do, and why others do the things they do. Most importantly, I'll help you build the self-awareness skills to create whatever results you want. It's never too late to change the trajectory of your life. After all, this is not your practice life. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of This Is Not Your Practice Life podcast. My name is Macy, and I am so excited you're joining me from wherever you're listening from. So we're going to get right into today's topic, but I want to preface with, if you have had a horrendous or really hard last week or the last 2 weeks, just know something's going on in the air, because I don't know that I've ever had so many clients struggling at once. I've been struggling. So many friends have been struggling. There's been a lot of emotional things coming up. And I don't know, I know not everybody is into the woo-woo stuff with the stars and the planets, but apparently the full moon and the eclipse or whatever is going on in the solar system is deeply bringing up a lot of hard things for people to navigate and emotionally process. And I've just been seeing it so much, whether it's colleagues or friends or my own clients or even myself. So I just want to say, if the last 2 weeks or so have felt really, really hard, just know that you're not alone. Okay, so now that I say that, I posted another anonymous link on my Instagram, and I asked you all to ask for whatever you wanted. Ask for coaching, ask me any questions, send podcast ideas. And I got a lot of podcast ideas, which I'm just so thankful that you all were willing to send. And the one that stood out to me is the one that resonates with what a lot of people are going through right now. And the question was, how to maintain your emotional intelligence during times of crisis, loss, or emergencies. Funny enough with this, I almost recorded an episode that was very similar to this last week in real time, because my week has been crazy. And I didn't talk about it when I was recording last week's episode, but last week on Thursday, I got a call from my grandmother that my papaw had gone to the hospital. And, you know, for something serious, I'm not trying to share all the business and whatnot, but he went to the hospital for something serious. And then 2 days after that, my grandma had to go to the ER in an emergency for something going on with her that she ended up having to have emergency surgery on. And then my poor sister had cellulitis. And then my mom got a fever. And, you know, my other sister, they're both due with babies. Both of my sisters are due with babies really soon. And so it just felt like a super chaotic week. I felt like every 24 hours I was getting a phone call or a message. And especially when I got the one for my papaw, I felt so many emotions go through my body. I felt fear. I felt frustration. I felt sadness. I felt helpless. I felt so many things. And I almost came to the podcast to record what I was feeling live, simply because I felt like it would be the best teacher for how I was regulating my emotions. But the whole day was so chaotic, and I was just on my phone so much talking to different family members that I didn't do it. And I really do wish that I did, but I'm going to do my best to take you through what that process looked like that day, and even you know, the days following, like how I've been managing it all up to this point, because I can't remember who it was. I feel like it was one of my clients. They said, how are you doing? Are you okay? Because, you know, I show up for my clients and I just coach and coach and coach. And it's, I don't want to say it's super rare because my clients are very thoughtful and considerate, but for someone to say, before we get coaching on me, like, or get to coaching on my stuff, how are you doing? Especially if they are in the loop about something going on in my personal life. So it was like probably the first time that I was asked, really, and got to take a deep breath and just be like, oh, it's been a really hard week. So anyways, here's what I want to say to this. So how do you maintain your emotional intelligence during times of crisis, loss, or emergencies? So when I got the phone call, which I would definitely say was a crisis and an emergency and something very time sensitive, I immediately felt multiple emotions running through my body. Like I said, I felt fear, I felt frustration and sadness, and just a lot of emotions came flooding in. And I remember my train of thought being, what information can I gather to keep myself super, super calm? So what questions do I need to ask rather than assume? And how can I make sure that I process those answers and my emotions so that I don't freak out? So when I was getting the information, you know, and I was asking questions, I really had to sit with all of the anxiety that I felt in my body. And I remember having the thought like, oh my gosh, I can see why someone would go have a drink right now or go smoke something right now or go take a pill right now, because my body felt so jittery and so uncomfortable that there were several, like there was probably an hour where I just kept having the thought, I don't know if I can handle this. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can process this without something to calm my nerves. And I just kept bringing myself back. What really helped me in that moment was bringing myself back to, what can I control? Like, the biggest thing with emergencies and crises and loss is that feeling of being out of control. And when we feel out of control, it's also what elicits all of that anxiety in our body, because anxiety is really the desire to be able to control things. And we know in life we cannot. And I was talking to my sister about it because I said, I'm just so anxious all in my body. Like, I feel all of these uncomfortable sensations, and, you know, I can see that my brain is also trying to come up with other scenarios. So for instance, my brain was like, well, what if I had been there? Or, you know, is there anything I missed when I was home a few weeks ago? Were there signs then? Or what if I had asked different questions? Almost like that control, that feeling of, I should be able to control life and control my life in such a way where bad things never happen to me or the people that I love. Like, I think that's what we all want as humans. And the emotional intelligence that I used in that moment was bringing myself back to, Macy, what can you control? And the answer is not what anybody wants, but I can only control myself. So I had to remind myself not to allow a drama reaction, because it wasn't going to be useful for anybody. If I was in full dramatics with my grandma giving me the news, if I engaged in any kind of dramatics with my family members who, you know, were also processing emotion, like, it just wasn't going to serve any of us when the only thing that I can do is control myself and remind myself that even if I got on a plane, there's only so much I can do at the hospital, which is visit, right? There's only so much that I can do as far as communication, which is maybe advocate or ask questions. Other than that, so many things are out of my control, so freaking out and panicking is not going to be helpful to me or to anybody else. And I had to keep reminding myself of that. I also had to keep reminding myself that it was okay to feel wildly uncomfortable sensations, and to remind myself also that I'm capable of feeling those very uncomfortable sensations without having to numb myself. Like, for some reason, my brain just kept saying, like, I feel like I want a glass of wine, or a glass of wine would be really helpful. And I don't even drink wine on a regular basis. So I knew my brain was doing that as a way to, like, I need something to calm myself down because I don't feel capable of calming myself down. But I would come back to my brain and say, is that true? Is it true that you can't calm down? Again, what can we control? And I would come back to myself and I'd be like, I can only control myself. Wine is actually not going to make me feel better. I actually get a really upset stomach when I drink, and my IBS is all over the place, and I don't feel good the next day, and I can't sleep. And sometimes I even have horrendous nightmares, like after I've had a glass of alcohol or whatever. And so I'm just like, that's actually not going to serve you. In fact, it's probably going to make your anxiety worse. So what can you do to nourish yourself right now? So from there, I got in the car and I drove and parked at my favorite Raising Cane's. I did go in and I got myself a tea, which I really felt like that's a part of my normal routine. I'm going to go and engage in my normal routine. And then I sat in the car and I let myself have tears. So tears flowed out of me. And I asked myself, like, why are the tears flowing? They're flowing because I love my family a lot. I don't want any of them to struggle. I'm feeling gratitude and sadness all at the same time. I'm grieving that they're getting older in age. I'm feeling gratitude that they're still alive and, you know, and somewhat well. I'm grieving the health they used to have, all while being thankful for what health they do have left. Like, it was just such an experience of, you know, something I've even talked about on the podcast of life being 50-50. It's going to be 50-50. You're going to have 50% amazing, wonderful things happening in life, and you're going to have 50% horrendous and just hard and frustrating and sad, and you can't escape either one. You know, it's going to come in ebbs and flows. Some days you're going to be riding cloud nine, and some days you're going to feel like you're crawling yourself out of the deepest, darkest hole. And all of that is a part of the human experience. The big thing with all of it is, how well do you cope with that 50% that feels like sometimes being in a hole, or it feels like it's trying to drag you down? Like, what are your skills and your tools to make sure you don't stay there? That having that experience is not so much problematic. It's the lack of skills that puts us in that hole for much longer than we have to be. So I did a lot of processing that day and a lot of sitting with my emotions and just letting myself feel it. And it felt awful. It felt wildly uncomfortable. But all the while, I actually felt like I could celebrate myself, because I feel like if all of those phone calls last week had happened a year ago, or even 5 years ago, or for sure 10 years ago, I would have absolutely been in a completely different place. And I felt relatively calm for the things, you know, that transpired. So I think something that you can hold on to if you are experiencing a really rough patch, or you get that phone call that puts you in your own level of like crisis or fear, or you experience loss or emergencies, to do these steps. First, process the information that you've been given and just notice what you're feeling in your body. Let yourself feel it, right? If that means tears need to come out, if that means you have the shakes, if that means you feel nauseated, just let those uncomfortable sensations be there and remind yourself, like, uncomfortable sensations are not a problem. They're uncomfortable, but they're not a problem. They're not going to kill me. They're not going to do any harm. They're there alongside the depth and rawness of emotion that I'm feeling. So the sensations are just accompanying these uncomfortable emotions that are present, the depth of those raw emotions that are present. So the number one thing is just to remind yourself what I am feeling in my body, all of these uncomfortable sensations are not a problem. If you can stay in that level of awareness to do your best not to buffer, you know, not to go into different strategies of numbing, if you can, right? Everybody is going to handle this a little bit differently and do what they feel is best for them. But I will say a lot of times the numbing doesn't actually help us long term. It just removes that sensation, but buries the feelings that come along with it. So when you have numbed out that sensation and you've numbed out your brain to not have to think about it, what you've actually done is stored it for later. So you've taken those emotions and you've pocketed them away or stored them away in what I refer to as the locker. And I think I did an episode a while back called The Locker of Feelings. And also, if you go watch my free training, Cope Better, which you can sign up for on my website or find on the pinned post on Instagram, you can learn more about that locker of feelings. But that's what a lot of people tend to do. They like bury and suppress, they numb. And it's because in the moment, our brain goes, I just need to get rid of this uncomfortable sensation. I can't handle feeling it, which is just a thought and a story in our mind. I can't handle it. But you actually can handle it many times, okay, if you just give yourself the space to feel it. And if you don't numb it, then it actually can move that energy and that sensation up and out of your body so that it doesn't have the same effect on you and it doesn't have the same level of intensity and power versus numbing it where it kind of shoves it down for later. It says, I don't really want to address this now. Let's deal with it later. And what most people do in their life is they've shoved most everything that they couldn't cope with in the moment for later. So by the time they're ready to open that, you know, metaphorical locker, they have a lot of stuff to dig out. And the intensity of pulling it all out of the locker then is super overwhelming. That's why coaching can feel so hard. It's by the time someone has hired me to coach them, they're like, here's my locker. And it's got, you know, 25, 35, 45, 55, 65 years of buried things in it that, you know, in the heat of the moment, as in each individual circumstance, they numbed and they stored away. And now they want to, you know, work through it. And we have to start digging it out. And it feels overwhelming because it's like, yeah, I mean, the locker is popped open and like 20 things have popped out at once. This is very overwhelming. Of course, this feels terrible, you know? So in that moment, just do your best not to numb. And if you are going to have like a glass of wine or you are going to watch TV or like let yourself chill out, that's not so much a problem once you've just allowed yourself to process it first, to just be with the uncomfortable sensation first. Let yourself feel it. Remind yourself it's okay. Cry it out, shake it out, be nauseated, whatever it is, let it be there. Breathe through it, take some deep breaths. And then once you've kind of allowed the feeling to pass, you know, you might a few hours later be like, okay, I'm so proud of myself that I did that. And now I just want to chill out and have a glass of wine with my husband or, you know, go out to eat with a girlfriend and maybe have a glass of champagne or whatever it is. And so I want to remind you that it's not a problem, and I'm not condemning you if you do any sort of buffering in your life. That's not what any of this is about. It's about sitting with the feelings first, right? Like being really self-aware of why you're doing certain things, asking yourself if doing those certain things before you've processed emotion are going to serve you long term. For most people, the answer is no. So it's not about the fact that we as humans can't ever buffer or can't decide, I'm going to watch TV, I'm going to binge my favorite show, I'm going to eat my favorite snacks, even though I'm not really super hungry, I'm going to have a cookie or I'm going to have some ice cream or I'm going to enjoy this glass of wine. I'm not condemning any of that. I want to make that super, super clear for anybody who's maybe confused. My whole point in bringing up the buffering and bringing up the whole process sometimes that we use of numbing ourselves is because a lot of times we're doing that when we're not aware of emotions or when we have told ourselves we can't handle life events that feel stressful, that create uncomfortable sensations in our body. And I just want to tell you that if that's where your brain goes first, if you really want to change that, if you want to rewire it, it's important to know it's not true that you can't handle it. You can handle hard things. We're not going to ever like how it feels to be in the 50% where life is handing us a lot of crappy, rotten lemons. But it is inevitable that life is going to hand us sometimes crappy lemons like emergencies, crisis, loss, maybe divorce, grief, like all the things, right? We're going to be a loss of a job, financial issues, struggles. Like we are not exempt, none of us, from the human experience. Where people really struggle is that they tell themselves, they believe the stories in their brain of, I can't handle this. Yes, you can. You can, but you have to be willing and you have to be willing to allow the uncomfortable sensations in your body, and you have to remind your brain nothing has gone wrong when you feel those uncomfortable sensations. They are not problematic. And you have to know that your brain is going to tell you that they are, and it's going to find the magic quote unquote pill to make it better. Whether that is literally a pill, whether that is smoking or drinking or shopping or hooking up with someone or spending lots of money or overeating or overdrinking, what being on your phone for hours on end engulfed in other people's lives, binge watching TV, it's going to find a vice. Like that's what your brain is designed to do. Your brain is designed to keep you in comfort. It doesn't want you to feel upset about anything. So the first thing that it does when an uncomfortable sensation enters your body is go, oh, this is a problem. We need to make this go away. And I just want to remind you that no matter what has affected you, that if you can get to a place where you're like, this is rocking my world, but I can handle it, and you process it first, that's going to serve you so much more long term. And I'm not dismissing the fact that it is a super hard thing to do, because I've been doing this work for a really long time. 8 years I've been in coaching and 10 years in personal development. And when each phone call came through last week, I noticed exactly what my brain wanted to do. It wanted to check out. It was like, let's have a glass of wine. I mean, it told me all the things that I could do to feel better. And I just reminded myself of the awareness I have and that I am capable and I am strong. And first I'm going to process. And then if I need to go like check out and watch TV, or if I want to go have a glass of something out to dinner with my husband, then I will. I'm not going to shame myself for it, but I'm also not going to go there first. I'm not going to use a numbing agent before I have really nurtured the part of me that's scared. You can kind of think of it as like your inner child. When you get bad news or you get terrible news or you have a life event in your life that feels so hard, think of it as like your inner child is so freaking scared. He or she is so freaking scared. And she just needs, or he just needs, someone to tell them it's going to be okay. And maybe growing up, you didn't really have that. Maybe what was modeled for you is your parents also freaked out, or they didn't have emotional regulation. They didn't have emotional intelligence. Anything that felt bad to you only felt 10 times worse, maybe with the way that your parents or grandparents or family members handled it or handled themselves. And so your nervous system feels wrecked. That's how a lot of my situations were growing up, I could not depend on my family to calm me down or to reassure me everything would be okay. I had to oftentimes as a kid remind myself it's going to be okay and try to regulate my nervous system the best way I knew how, because there wasn't an adult that was doing this work that could teach it to me. And the only way that I knew how to regulate was with buffering. So when I was 24 years old and I met my coach and I learned about buffering, I'm like, oh, maybe I haven't been regulating my nervous system the best my entire life, because from childhood up to now, I've only known how to keep myself safe through buffering. And when I started to heal and work on all of the things that, you know, had hurt me and cleared out my locker and became more self-aware and worked on my mindset and worked on, you know, strengthening my emotional intelligence, what I realized is that inner child in me really is depending on the most emotionally mature version of myself as an adult today to nurture and to remind myself it's going to be okay. And sometimes that might be what you need as well. You know, your inner child is screaming, I'm so uncomfortable, I'm so scared, I'm so uncomfortable, I'm so scared. How would you confront that child? I mean, would you put a cigarette in their mouth immediately? You know, would you, if it's like your inner six-year-old, do you just pour them a glass of tequila? You know, do you sit them in front of a TV and say, here, watch this. It's, you know, check out, don't feel anything. Or would you think it would be better to serve that six-year-old to really be like, hey, what's going on? What's scaring you? Are you okay? How can I help you? Like, think about what you needed as a kid, or sometimes even what you've needed as an adult. I know that even as an adult, sometimes I just really wish someone would tell me everything's going to be okay. And when there's been those people in my life that's like, hey, just to let you know, everything is going to be okay. That is so healing on so many levels for my nervous system and my body to be like, you're right. I can't control everything I want to control, but I can control myself if I allow it. And if I'm in control, I know that I can make sure I'm okay, that my needs are met, that I'm nurtured and nourished, and that I'm going to make myself a priority, especially when I cannot control anybody else or outside circumstances. I'm only going to focus on what I can control. So I hope that this episode helps you and gives you kind of a perspective of how to look at this, you know, and remind yourself also to give yourself what you need. Make sure that you have a way of taking care of yourself. You know, if that means talking to a friend that can actually hold space for you, if that means going on a walk, if that means scheduling a massage, if that's taking a longer shower, a bubble bath, like remember to also incorporate your self-care practices, you know, and also to say no to things you don't have the capacity for. Like when all of this was happening and I was trying to process my own emotions and my phone was ringing with other people I knew were going to pull me into their own emotions, I had to say no, I can't answer that phone call right now. I know that if I answer that phone call, they're going to pull me into panic and they're going to pull me into what they haven't processed themselves. And I know I'm not emotionally available for it. I'm trying to regulate my own emotions right now. I don't have the capacity to help them regulate theirs when I'm trying to make sure I'm also okay and emotionally regulated. And so sometimes it's even incorporating boundaries. Sometimes that's the most loving thing you can do for yourself when a lot is happening around you. So I hope that this episode was helpful. And again, if you have had a rough few weeks or a rough few days, just know I'm thinking of you and I am sending you so much love. And if there's any way that I can support you, please reach out. You are so important. You are so loved. And you've got this. Hang in there. And again, if you need any help whatsoever, please, please reach out. Hey there. Thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of This Is Not Your Practice Life podcast. If you'd like to connect on social media, you can find me on both Instagram and Facebook at Macy Renee Coaching. And if you want to stay up to date on all of my offers, announcements, and inspirational emails, you can join my email list at macyrenee.com. In addition, if there's a way that I can further support you in your coaching journey, you can schedule a free 60-minute consult at macyrenee.com anytime you want so we can discuss the best options for you. I look forward to seeing you next week, and I hope you have an amazing day. Bye.